You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome, Geeksters. We've made it. Our one-year anniversary show here live from the Malted Meeple. We're actually joined by a bunch of friends here today. A bunch of friends, all say hi.
Hi.
We're actually having a party. Kylan, congratulations, brother. We made it one full year.
And we didn't even get arrested.
Well, not without trying.
That's true.
That business on Cater Nemoidia doesn't count.
Exactly. Oh. 1 year.
You guys are actually speechless at this point.
I know.
I mean, well,
that's not
last Friday, you know, I'm writing my blog, and so last Thursday night, I'm sitting there and I'm writing this, and I sat there and I'm thinking about, you know, we when we started this, we planned it for like two and a half months, and we're thinking we were going to do this once every month. And I was like, okay, you know, we could do that once a month. And we had all these plans, and we figured by the time we got around to December, we'd be at this one point. But we ended up being at that one point by March. And
yeah,
so
nuts.
It's like this turned into something way bigger than I thought.
It's gained a life of its own.
We have swag now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, well... For anybody who hasn't been with us the whole time through, just a quick 3 minute, you can just cut me off. We started this a year ago in January. And like Kylan said, after 1 week, we planned it to be monthly. After 1 week, we said we got to go every 2 weeks.
Right.
And then come September, we had to go weekly because there's just too much stuff, especially over the summer, that we missed.
And
we couldn't put in – there's too much stuff going on with conventions and movie premieres and everything else.
And then we added new content 6 days out of the week.
We added the website. We didn't even have a website till September.
That's true.
Now we have geekwatch1.com. We added the blogs. We added three new members to our family with Cam and Vernon and Bart. What?
It doesn't matter. Cam, you called me Vern.
I'm talking to the microphone. I'm not talking to you.
No one knows which way he was pointing.
Exactly. Audio podcast, Cameron.
Except that guy in a striped shirt. And Schenectady, he knows what
he's coming to get you at some point. You keep calling him out.
You know what? That guy Schenectady, he can drive down which interstate is that?
I don't know.
Where is Schenectady?
Don't give him direction.
Is this Canadian town, Don?
No, this is Canadian.
Schenectady is in the U.S.
Oh,
whoa. Schenectady is in the U.S.
Hey, show that. That actually does work. Hit that again.
She'll kill me.
He can come down here. I bought him a milkshake. I don't know.
She'll kill me.
But in March of this year, we actually joined the network. I want to personally thank Mark and Jim and the Tangent Bound family, guys. Thank you for welcoming us in and helping us out and with all the questions, anything we need. And then a couple months later, through the Tangent Bound network, we met Mike and Weeby Geeks.
Yep.
And he invited us onto their network.
And so, then, that just grew. And
for a man who had never heard a podcast before, he did ours. He now hosts two.
I had listened to a podcast.
Yeah. Now he hosts two podcasts.
I never listened to a podcast either, and so Geek Watch 1 existed.
See?
We give people a reason to listen.
We're the gateway drug.
Yeah. We were your first.
You're
you see, kids, when somebody really likes you, they'll turn on their computer and listen to you to fill up their empty time.
Now, can you imagine if we got after hours?
Fill that special place in their heart.
Yeah, and eventually, we're hoping to eventually get to the place where we can actually have Geek Watch 1 After Dark. Miss Dawn and Kylan and Vicky and Mike over at Weeby Geeks and all of them want this. The no holds barred, gloves off, no censorship,
no
Geek
protection.
Watch 1.
So, about being live.
Pretty much.
It's like if you've heard any of us, no, not behind the mic.
Wait.
It's when we're not recording.
Well, except for except
for
Ken.
Ken, who's the Boy Scout of the group.
That's only if I'm drunk.
He's the Clark Kent of the
group. Ken is Clark Kent in the group. He is lawful good.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, Man of Steel.
Superman took that wrong turn in Man of Steel. So
Ken is the paladin of the group. You know, so
yeah, he has to be.
Language.
Yep,
that's right.
That's right.
But then Cap ends up cursing at him like, did he just?
Was that the extended version?
Director's cut, maybe.
So, Kylan,
yo,
setting up for this, we've been setting up for like a year for this show, but let's do a, do we have any Geekwatch 1 news other than the fact that we've been here for a year now?
We've been here for a year, we're going to be
not specifically in this location.
Not this location.
Year.
No. but all over the world.
Yeah, this thief really starting to hurt.
We're going to be at Odd Mall in 2 weeks?
Yes. Oh, no, that's 3 weeks, I think, isn't it?
3 weeks?
Yes. No, next week we have the news.
Yeah.
Because next week, anybody who's in the Ohio area, we will be recording live from the Groundhog Day Gaming Retreat Sunday afternoon. So what's the website for Groundhog Day? Do you guys know? It's GHD Retreat. Don't quote me on it, but I believe it's the GHD retreat.com. You can look it up, Groundhog Day Gaming on Facebook, and get all the information from there.
The Clarion in Hudson. That's where it's going
to
be.
Yeah, it's the hotel that used to have Con on the Cob and Odd Mall.
Technically,
and stuff.
Next week by the time this goes up, it's 2 days.
Yeah, it's 4 days.
We'll be there on the 31st, I guess.
It's a 3 days of just hanging out and board gaming. And actually, they said they added role playing games this year.
Really?
So there's 3 days of gaming with your friends. So come on up and join us. Sunday afternoon, we'll be actually recording from there. And I believe I talked to, was it Marshall Dice from the Dice Squad? And he's going to actually be joining us on the show live.
Oh, sweet.
So he's going to fill the fourth chair for if we need it.
Okay.
So
starts 4 o'clock this Friday.
Yeah, okay. It starts 4 o'clock this Friday through 4 o'clock Sunday night. I know that one at least. So the times will be determined when I get there and I talk to Drew and I can work out the logistics.
Right.
But I know we're recording Sunday. And then 2 weeks after that is when we're doing the Odd Mall show.
Yep.
So Odd Mall Expedition Elsewhere is in Canton, Ohio, Valentine's Day weekend, down at the Canton Cultural Arts Center. If you go to oddmall.info, you can get the link to Expedition Elsewhere to find out all the information about that. I know Gandersnitch the Goblin actually has 2 stage shows. One of them is his nearly newlywed game, or whatever he called it. Now imagine a goblin doing the newlywed game.
You heard our interview with Gandersnitch, and if you haven't listened to it, you've been warned.
Yes, we've warned you. He is a goblin, a real live goblin. So
he may or may not be literate. I really don't know.
He writes books. Well, with help
he
of Rob.
He says he writes books.
Yeah, he says he writes books.
Well, Robert helps
he
him. But
yeah. He dictates books. That's what he does.
That's Odd Mall. Also, in between there, the week after Groundhog Day, we're actually, for that week's show, which I have the date right here.
The 7th?
Vernon's text came up.
There we go. Podio's on my way.
Ah, it's not on here. Figures.
What are you talking about?
But the first Wednesday in February, if anybody who's interested in cryptids or Bigfoot, we will have Seth Breedlove from the Small Town Monsters movie series and the Sasquatch podcast will be on the show with us talking about the Small Town Monsters and Bigfoot. He actually has a new Kickstarter coming up in February for his movie about the Boggy Creek Monster down in Alabama or Arkansas. Then he's got the Beast of Whitehall premiering in April, so he'll be probably telling us about that and just talking cryptids in general. It's something we've not talked about that most of us are somewhat interested in. I'm not personally a believer, but we'll get into that. But I love the idea and listening to the stories of Bigfoots.
It's because you don't want to give your cousin away.
Yeah. You can't let out all the secrets of the family.
I know.
So
I see where your parents live.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the next live show after Odd Mall is we're back here at the Malt and Meeple the end of March, yep. Or end of February, end of March, every month. The last Monday of every month, we're recording live at the Meeple. Come join us, just like our friends here did today. So,
hello.
Did you get a picture? You got a picture of all this.
Hello.
Okay, so that's our that's the Geekwatch 1 news. That covers.
He's gone.
Did Vernon break him?
He's done.
What'd you say, Vernon?
I didn't say.
Oh.
Okay. I wanna give one shout out. I was actually here at the Meeple a couple days ago. I took a class to make a goblin head, which if you've seen these guys on the wall, I think I've posted pictures on our Instagram. Claude Raymond from Claude Raymond Design, who's at Odd Mall. And he signed up for all the Odd Malls this year, so I know he'll be there. He taught the class. It was like 3 hours, and there was only like three of us in the class, so it was awesome. And so he taught us how to make a goblin head, and we even have like the little plaque to post it on. And so we have trophy goblin heads now, and I just wanted to give him a shout out and say thanks. It was a great class, and you should go to Odd Mall, check him out.
Why make a smurf?
Huh? Because he decided to make a smurf.
A form of goblin.
Yeah. It's kind of like a little blue goblin. But we may have to get an interview with him on Oddball since he's going to be there.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him. So, that and Mother Wave Creation News, we covered pretty much that Oddball's coming up.
Yep.
We'll get more from Andy later.
Yep.
But as we do every month at the Meeple, our monthly segment, Carrington, you want to slide up here and what's going on with the Meeple and the Ravenwood Castle?
So there are a whole bunch, as I usually always say about Ravenwood Castle, there are a whole bunch of murder mysteries to sign up for. I think we just announced, maybe even just filled the Murder in Mirkwood, which is Lord of the Rings themed. We're working on another Star Wars movie that we announced yet.
Oh!
Kind of preview that, so we'll have to be looking out for that one. Coming up at the end of February is, of course, our... I think it's fourth annual Hoop and Stick. Hoop and Stick Con, where we raise money for charity. Our goal this year is $10,000.
When is that?
It is a convention we do for charity called Hoop and Stick.
When?
It is the end of February.
Okay.
We'll have Flat Hat Games there as our returning guests of honor. And it will be a bunch of days of gaming. It's going to be fantastic. Like I said, our goal this year is to raise $10,000. Last year we raised about $7,750. So that's what's going on at Ravenwood Castle. We got a whole bunch of cool stuff happening at the Meeple. Of course, as are very popular, our milkshakes of the month. We got three new experimental milkshakes coming out this February, as it is going to be Valentine's Day. The three experimental milkshakes are all chocolate. So we got chocolate orange, chocolate raspberry, dark chocolate raspberry, and white chocolate. I mean, in next month.
Ooh.
Ooh. White chocolate. I do believe the votes have been counted. The milkshakes have been weighed and measured, and I do believe that butterscotch is going to be this month's winner.
Cool.
So the Meeple Challenge marches on with butterscotch, and the board game of the month is going to be the Resistance. I'll talk about the Meeple Challenge, where you can get a Meeple jacket. Now in its second month, you can sign up. You have to drink the milkshake of the month. You got to drink the staff pick milkshake and play the game. You do that all 12 months. You will get a Malta Meeple 2016 jacket.
Okay.
Jacket. I've seen some of the proofs. They look really good.
Cool.
I have a question about
it. Yeah.
It started off as a really sarcastic question in my head, but now I'm
but now you're serious.
Yes. What if you're lactose intolerant?
Ooh. But you really
wow, you stumped
jacket.
Him.
Wow, I like that. Maybe we can make a friend. Maybe we can substitute for some other kind of drink or snack. I'll have to get back to you on that one. That's a
beer.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, beer. Yeah.
We'll bring
so,
some coconut ice cream.
And we're also
for you.
Expanding our Dungeon Meeple program. We're looking we are looking for Dungeon Masters far and wide, anyone who's interested in running something. I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but we definitely want, if you or someone you know is a game master, a storyteller, a dungeon master, a lore master, whatever the system uses, we want you. We will waive your $5 table fee. We will give you a free milkshake, and you'll start getting some rewards as well. We've got a whole reward system set up for coming in and running games for our guests. I mean,
cool.
You know, giving you all kinds of cool stuff.
Maybe Andy'd be interested in that one. Bring Low Life.
Yeah.
Andy created his own game, Low Life. So.
Absolutely.
I know a bunch of people that are waiting in line to play that game because they've never had a chance when he actually runs it.
Andy Hop, so. Come and run Low Life. That's what I'm hearing right now.
There you go.
So yeah, so. That's one of the things we do. We're especially looking for dungeon masters for Dungeons and Dragons on Wednesdays, and one of the things that we are really excited is to start the next couple of seasons, which will be starting in February.
Okay.
So, cool. Anyone's interested in Dungeons and Dragons or Dungeon Meepling, send us an email at info@multimeeple.com.
Cool.
Okay, and Ms. Dawn will put the links up for that probably on our show notes.
Does it matter if it's 3.5 or 4 or...
For Dungeons and Dragons, we are looking for folks to do... 5th edition, the newest edition.
Okay, 5th edition, sorry.
But if someone wants to come in and they want to like run a throwback 1st edition, 2nd edition, 3.5, whatever campaign, like I said, if you're a game master and you want to run something,
cool.
Shout out to us. Cool.
That, I got a friend at work, Dustin, who just started playing D&D. He's never played in his life. He's like 40 now. But he and his wife and daughter play in a Saturday night game, and they're actually running 2nd edition.
They are?
Yeah, the guy who's running it, he's running 2nd edition with them.
What's that? Yeah. I play 3.5, and I'm just like, and I'm like, I can't find the time to get back into it.
That's, I've always wanted to get into a group, but I never have the time to actually do it consistently.
Absolutely, every Wednesday.
So... Okay, you said that's all the Meeple news for now?
That's all the Meeple news. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you said you have one or two real quick news things, and then we can get into having some fun.
Okay.
Oh, I had one, too. If it's not on your list, you'll get to mine.
Well, I only have two things on the list.
Ah. Did you have Netflix on your list yet?
No.
Okay, there's new news today. No, there's a quick news about that.
Okay,
at the end.
Click something.
I know I did.
Uh-oh. Okay. Don't let Ken click anything.
No.
No, it's dangerous. We're the screen. Don't the screen is white.
It's all
okay,
still running.
One bit of news that I just saw today is that because apparently this is necessary, DC is going to relaunch its comics again.
Unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Because it's been a whole 5 years since the New 52.
Are we surprised though?
No, we're not surprised at all. And it's in June. And what? It's a continuity reboot, and they're trying to basically bring things together with the TV universe. This is why they're doing it.
Oh, so it's what they should have done with the New 52 anyway.
Really, it is.
Am I
it
right?
Is.
Am I
so
right?
So a it's lot what, of...
Why are they biting off of Marvel's? Well, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Because they figured out Marvel was smart with what? Connecting universes.
Yeah, but you see the way Marvel did it.
Together.
The way Marvel did it was they didn't do it... Well, they did a continuity reboot, but it wasn't the same. They kind of slowly worked it. To where everything starts to fit in together.
Because Marvel now start off with, oh yeah, everything's the same. Wait a minute, this looks like the movies. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I guess
that's why.
Oh no, but see, they're like, oh, the comics, well, you know what? Nick Fury had an illegitimate son.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And his son looks like this guy. So you're going to run S.H.I.E.L.D.
There's questions about what titles might survive and not, and because they're going back to number ones. Like it's number ones. So it's not like they're just trying to slot these things in. Number ones.
Probably didn't get any news about this, but can we get Martian Manhunter back and get rid of Cyborg and put him back in Teen Titans?
No, he's going to be in Justice League because in the movie he's in Justice League.
But hey, if they're going to do that, you know, part two, bye Cyborg, hey Martian.
Yeah.
Well, see, they're doing Martian right. They finally did Martian right.
On Supergirl.
See, they did him right.
That seeing Martian Manhunter show up on Supergirl, that was like the best thing about the show, and I still think it's the best thing about the show.
I agree with you. Now I just
want it to be Martian Manhunter instead of Supergirl.
I'm waiting for it to get to Netflix so I can just back forward. It's still a little
teen rom-com for me.
But they did fix the pacing problems.
They did.
I've not
they
noticed
did.
That in the last like 5 or 6 episodes.
Yeah,
the pacing problems.
I feel like Martian Manhunter. Wow, enunciation. has like one of my favorite villains, which is Malefic, because it's always fun to have like two people like, all right, we're gonna fight each other, but now I'm a wasp and now I'm a giant thing. Okay, all right.
You see
like
what
the
you
craziest
do?
Fight.
Are you talking about his twin brother?
Huh?
Talking about his twin brother.
Malefic. Yep. Yeah. Love it. Let's like let's just.
Well, did you see who's going to be on this week's Supergirl?
No, I missed it.
They're bringing in the White Martian.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The one that destroyed all the Martians or whatever.
So that means we might get to see Miss Martian.
Whoever that, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I doubt it, but that'd be awesome.
We need some type of cameo.
Yeah.
If they do it like they did Superboy and Smallville, I'll be okay with that.
I like the way they brought in Connor. Okay.
Let's move on. And because I haven't actually done this for a couple of weeks, my Deadpool download, which I never got a sound clip for, by the way.
We don't have sound clips for anything.
But my Deadpool download deserved it. Anyway, but it would have cursing in it, so I can't. So anyway, there's a lot of Deadpool news because it's barely a couple weeks away, and tickets already went on sale this week. Yeah. And it does open Thursday night. There's some places showing it at 7 and 10. Yeah, so you don't have to wait till Friday.
I'm going to have to get to 7 o'clock.
There you go. So anyways, there's a lot of... I think they're up to like 12 different versions of trailers and TV cuts, etc. for the movie. And a lot of them are actually different, and they show different clips in them. It's not just a rehash of the main trailer. There's one that I just watched this week that has Blind Al in it. And if... Blind Al is an old blind woman who Deadpool basically keeps hostage, but she's not nice, so you don't feel sorry for her. She's played by Leslie Uggams in the movie, though, which is pretty impressive. And he, like, in the comics at least, he consistently booby traps the house so that she hurts herself. But anyway...
That's because Deadpool's a nice guy.
He's a wonderful guy! And they actually released a first clip from the film just today with... technically Wade and Vanessa, and it's kind of a rude clip, and I'm not going to describe it, so you can go look for it yourself. But other news, they had a couple of Deadpool gatherings, one on each coast, and they were going to show people, supposedly, a clip of the movie, like give them a preview. What they did instead was show the entire movie. So both crowds, New York and California, got to see the entire movie already.
That's unfair.
I know, right? It's like they should tell us. They never do these things in Ohio.
It's Ohio.
Exactly.
It's fair, like there was nothing else to do in New York.
Exactly. Right? Like, well, this was a couple weeks ago.
Oh. Well, then they earned it.
Exactly. So they got to see the entire movie. So there's already been, you know, talk about it, and it's all good. And comicbook.com, they weren't supposed to, but they put a spoiler-free review up right away and then took it down. I read it before it got taken down. They loved it. They said fans will love it. It's exactly what's in the comics, so it's all good all the way around. And even Rob Liefeld, who created Deadpool, says this is the best media incarnation he's ever seen of the character.
Robert got the mega milkshake. That's awesome.
So, you know, when the creator says that it's a good thing, then it's a good thing. And my last thing for Deadpool right now, because there'll be more next week, I'm sure. They released the soundtrack listing, and half of it is score, and half of it is actual songs, and there's not a lot of songs. But I just have to point out, because they're kind of awesome, and I'm sure if you've seen the ad, you know X Gonna Give It To You from DMX is in it. And you know that Shoop from Salt-N-Pepa's in it. Well, also in it is Juice Newton's Angel of the Morning, Neil Sedaka's Calendar Girl, and Wham's Careless Whisper. We also have the score. Parts of the score have been titled. And we have things such as Liam Neeson Nightmares, This Place Looks Sanitary, Going Commando, Let's Try to Kill Each Other, and A Face I Would Sit On. And that's the title of the scores. So there you go, and that's my digital download for this week.
Okay. So did you have any other regular news before we go any farther?
That's all I got.
Well, I got one that came today, Monday is day of recording. Netflix released their list of what's coming and going from Netflix. The big one, Doctor Who, the complete classic and new series, are leaving Netflix as of February 1st.
Oh, they said that was going to happen.
Yeah, this one, as of February 1st, Doctor Who completely is leaving Netflix. So I don't know. Bart was saying that they've said this before.
They keep saying it every few months.
Yeah, well, this one, as of right now, that's the plan.
Yeah, they said a couple months ago.
But Moffat's leaving the show.
Moffat's leaving the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they switched showrunners.
So
that I'm okay with.
Yeah, that's just a Doctor Who thing. They do that over time. But but since they're leaving, I mean, does that mean is someone else going to pick up Doctor Who? Like Hulu, I know already has it.
It's a possibility they could be going with Amazon.
Yeah. I was gonna say they're Prime members.
Yeah.
Have access to it then.
Okay. Because what's the other one is there's a lot of these networks setting up their own apps and things now. Mm-hmm. So what's the chances of BBC or BBC in America doing their own subscription service?
It's possible. Yeah.
Because I know CBS right now, most of their shows you can't get on any of the streaming services.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because they want you to get CBS All Access for $8 a month. So that's why Supergirl we have to watch the week of,
right,
or else we don't get to see it.
Right.
Because we'd have to pay. It's behind the paywall after the first week.
Right.
So we'll see what's going on with that. But yeah, Doctor Who is leaving Netflix.
When?
Huh?
A repeat. When?
Oh, February 1st. They're leaving the complete classic series and new series.
So you have a week to watch them all.
I think that's impossible.
Oh
no.
Ah.
18 seasons and in a week it could be done.
Yeah.
You just never go outside.
You're a
newbie.
It's
winter.
To get down to the meat of the situation, Kylan.
Yes.
1 year ago.
Yeah.
We made a promise to each other.
Yes, we did.
What was this promise we made to each other?
You said that we make it 1 year that we would have a Buckaroo Banzai show.
That's why tonight we're talking about Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
No.
Wait. Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. No.
Nothing.
No.
No, tonight we're talking all things Buckaroo Banzai. Now, show of hands, who in the room has seen Buckaroo Banzai?
Okay.
Put your hand up, Jesse. So, many of you are new.
Question.
You don't.
Here's the bigger question. Who has seen it at least 3 or 4 times?
Well,
she just heard about it. She just heard about it, so we'll give her that one.
Yeah, we brought it over and fed her.
So, Kylan, you want to just a real quick overview? What is Buckaroo Banzai? Just the movie. Don't get into the. We'll get into the rest of it in a minute.
Okay.
What is this movie? Which is funny because I watched an interview with that Kevin Smith did 4 years ago with Peter Weller and John Lithgow, who are the two main characters in this movie, and Peter Weller got on stage and said during this interview, I have absolutely no idea what this movie's about. And he was in it, and he's seen it multiple times.
See, the thing, it's one of those movies, and I've watched this movie, I've lost count, okay? And I really can't explain it. It's part comedy, it's part sci-fi, it's part action, it's all awesome. And it's one of those movies that people either totally love or totally hate.
Well, give us a quick plot synopsis, and then we'll get into some of that, too.
Okay, well, Buckaroo Banzai is he's a neurosurgeon, rock star, particle physicist.
Stunt driver.
Just all-around awesome guy. And his father, years and years ago, attempted to drive through. Oh, yeah, he's a samurai. Master of, like, 6 martial arts.
How could you forget that?
Sorry.
Oh, I know.
And so,
with that big sword?
And he, so his father was trying to drive through solid matter. And at the time that he attempted to do this, this bad guy named Hanoi John sabotages the vehicle, killing Buckaroo's parents. And so Buckaroo, I guess, has continued to try and develop this technology. So by the time we see the opening of the movie, they're out in the middle of the desert, and all these military people are around, and they think that Buckaroo is about to test his jet car, which is this car that goes like really, really fast.
500 miles an hour.
500 miles an hour. So
that's what they think it does.
And so the military is like, okay, well, blah, blah, blah. Well, Buckaroo hasn't told everybody what his plans are. All the inner circle know. So the jet car takes off, and just when they think they're trying to tell him to slow down, he's like, "Screw you guys!" Keeps going, and then all of a sudden he heads toward the mountain. And they're like, "What the heck is he doing?" He's going in there, saying, "Come, blow up, blow in there." Because the rest of his team's all calm and cool. Next thing you know, he hits the mountain.
Well, the interesting thing is, as he veers off course, then you watch the speed keeps climbing. He reaches over Mach 2 before he hits the mountain.
Yes, he's broken the sound barrier, and I don't think they see the laser that from the oscillation over thruster. Anyway, he goes through his mountain, comes out the other side, and while he's in the mountain, he crosses over to another dimension. And
what dimension is that?
The eighth dimension. So, and the eighth dimension, basically, this glass right here is more than just a glass. For us, it's just a glass.
For those listening, he's holding up a glass.
Okay. The molecules, there's entire universes between the molecules. And
That's
the theory this is based on. So he's traveling between universes through the eighth dimension. He picks up this life form and hits something so hard that his helmet splits, which I just noticed for the first time yesterday.
You never noticed that?
I never noticed it.
He wondered why his helmet disappeared.
I thought it was...
How many times have you seen this movie?
I thought it was a case
probably
of a bad
20
cut.
Or more times
I noticed it the first
this.
Time.
I thought it was just a bad cut. And I'm looking like, oh my God, it split the helmet? So anyway, so he comes out of the mountain. The jet car, you know, goes to a complete stop. And it's pretty much toast by this point. There's this life form that he can't explain that's like suctioned to the bottom of the jet car.
It looks like a brain.
Yeah. Looks like a brain.
It looks like a gooey brain.
Looks like a brain. And so the thing is, when he did this, he kind of opened the doorway to the eighth dimension, which kind of tells these other bad guys, the red electroids, that they have a way to leave Earth. And that's a whole other that's a whole other part of the story.
Can I just
I'll
point out
that
what you just described is like the first 5 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you give him a
phone?
Yeah.
But
pretty much.
Like, what about all the aliens he ran
he's
over?
He's not got to that part yet.
Yeah.
Speed it up and just give us a plot overview. Okay. We're gonna get into deep.
Okay.
We'll get into this deep.
Well, we didn't okay, so mention so like ran into the bodies. They
yeah.
Were
so we fast forward and we run into Dr. Lizardo, who try to replicate Dr. Banzai's attempt to cross
over. No, Lizardo was doing it first. He did it back in the 30s with
Dr.
Kida.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Kida.
Dr. Kida. And then Dr. Kida was working with Banzai's dad.
Right, that's right. Okay.
Dr. Lizardo is played by John Lithgow. And
this is like one of Lithgow's first roles, I believe. So
I think it was one of his first movie roles, yeah.
Yeah. So Dr. Lizardo, he decides that he's gonna go, so he's going, and Dr. Hikita's like, whoa, we're not ready. The guys are going fast enough. He crosses over
partially,
and just enough to scramble his brain. Pretty much,
his head gets thrown into the dimension.
He basically gets possessed.
He gets by
possessed
this,
by
an red evil electroid. By a red electroid, John Worfen.
Thing is like gnawing on his head.
Right, so he gets possessed by John Worfen. They pull him out, and it's too late at that point. The guy goes off, and he ends up doing all kinds of craziness, whatever.
He's in a psych ward.
And he's in a psych ward. That's where we see him.
Can we point out what they're all called?
Electroids.
We're gonna get there. Well, let me pick up for the moment. Just advances ahead. That's the basis of where this movie starts.
Right,
the rest of this movie is because Banzai crossed this mountain and crossed into another dimension, the red electroids have been stuck on Earth since the 30s. We find out that the Orson Welles' War of the Worlds broadcast that made everybody go nuts.
You remember that from the story about, was it the Halloween?
The broadcast of War of the Worlds, the radio broadcast. That there were people
everyone
that actually
believed.
Thought that was real.
Yeah.
But then they said it was fake. Well, no, it actually was real.
Yeah, it actually was real, and then they called it a hoax.
Right.
So, they...
But
we
find out
that, yeah, the aliens that invaded were these red electroids. Every one of them is named John.
Yeah, they all go the next day to the
Social Security office.
And their Social Security numbers are all in sequence. It's sequential order, and they're all like John Smallberries, John Worfen.
John Big Booty.
John Big Booty, John Yaya.
I like John.
Ooh, and John Big Booty
it's
is...
Yeah.
Boutet.
Is a... Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd. Well, I'm going to run through the cast list here in just a minute.
Yeah.
There, if you want, it's like a who's who of 80s people.
Yes.
Okay, this is the quintessential 80s movie.
It really is.
But the rest of the movie, the black Lectroids find out who are the enemies of these red Lectroids that are stuck on Earth, find out that the red Lectroids can now leave Earth. So they threaten to destroy the planet unless Banzai stops them.
Yeah, that's like, you know.
And that is basically the plot, the general plot of the movie.
There's, yeah, at that point, it's like, they give them 24 hours.
Yeah.
Like, you have 24 hours to stop them from escaping Earth. Or we're going to destroy your planet. That's it. And then he said, thank you for the discussion.
Yeah.
What discussion? But
well, this movie was directed by W.D. Richter, written by W.D. Richter and Earl MacRouch. But the cast, Buckaroo Banzai was Peter Weller. But you have John Lithgow, Ellen Barkin, Jeff Goldblum, Christopher Lloyd. Who else we got that's actually bigger names in this?
Goldblum.
Clancy Brown.
Can't forget Goldblum in the red chaps.
Jamie Lee we'll get to that. New Jersey, huh? Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is in the
opening.
The edited or deleted scene in the beginning. Trying to think. Vincent Schiavelli was in this. I'm trying to find other names. Clancy Brown. I mean, it's a who's who of people that you've seen, but you may not know who they are. They're all in this movie.
Yeah.
Playing different Lectroids and things. But it was done in 1984. Now, behind the scenes on this, I just found out, the movie, some parts feel a little different than others, because there's actually two different cinematographers on this movie.
Right.
The movie was made by 20th Century Fox, but the people who originally started the movie, 20th Century Fox had a change in leadership halfway through this movie. And so the new leadership decided they didn't like the way the cinematographer they were using and hired this new one.
And the leadership didn't like the movie at all. So they did as little as possible to market it.
Peter Weller was saying in the interview that I saw yesterday that they actually came to him as they're getting ready to market this movie. Said, "How would you market this?" Because they had no idea what they had at all. The new leadership had no idea what this movie was. They just knew it was getting made.
Well, I mean, the thing was the movie was more or less a big screen version of what you would see if it was Doc Savage or something.
Exactly.
Like.
That's what I've always said. It's like a 40s pulp hero
and
the 80s.
And that stuff had kind of fallen out of favor. I mean, the closest we come to that was Flash Gordon. But Flash Gordon was treated more sci-fi than it was, action-y, pulp action.
Well, the other one from the 80s that would be a similar style character is, although obviously it's a whole lot bigger movie, bigger budget, and it did a lot better, was Indiana Jones is a similar style character.
Exactly.
Is that he was an archaeologist and a treasure hunter and all these things, but he's one of those that can do everything.
That movie is sort of a Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, okay.
I said Jack Burton was a little similar too.
Well, is it, which is W.D. Richter.
Well,
yeah,
was
it? Yes.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Though it's supposed to be a mini series too. Like, you feel like there should be a movie before. You feel like there needs to be a movie afterwards.
And like when you read the novelization, there's all this. When I read the, not because I've read it more than once, but like when I'm reading it, there's all these little asides and all these other adventures that are going on and things that happened and.
And you
want
to know.
And I want. I do. Not, you
it's
know.
Like having the 18 American Ninja, the 80s version of American Ninja. And, what was the third one that I kind of had in mind?
Yeah!
Cat Baby.
Yeah!
And it's in this movie.
Oh yeah, the one where also the other dude from American Ninja, all of a sudden, and you're like, how did you...
Yeah, I got you.
Yes.
I get it. I know.
And she's only seen it once.
Well, I'm surprised
she's
you didn't know American Ninja. We need to talk.
You kind of do.
American Ninja is free on YouTube. All four of them.
All four?
There you go.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be on YouTube.
Well, let's go. Now, the thing is, until you read the backstory stuff, you see in this thing that Buckaroo Banzai has this group of people that are always with him. They're his guys. He's got, and they all got interesting nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
You got guys like Rawhide and Reno, Nevada, Perfect Tommy,
Jersey,
Dr. Sidney Zweibel, which was Jeff Goldblum's character. They call him New Jersey, which is great because the first time that the rest of the Hong Kong Cavaliers meet him, He's in chaps and spurs and this bright red shirt, and it's hilarious. And all these guys are getting off the bus as 80s rock star look is what they have.
Yeah.
And he's in this cowboy stuff.
They're called the Hong Kong Cavaliers, by the way.
Yeah, the band is the Hong Kong Cavaliers. But you read the backstories on them. All these guys are top scientists in a field that he happens to have in his band also.
Yeah.
So not only is he a man of everything, but anything he doesn't know, one of his people does.
Yes.
That's like the perfect gang of people.
And they drive around in a double-decker bus that is their headquarters. That is
World Watch 1.
Thus, we are
Geek Watch 1. That's right, y'all.
That is the origin of our name, is Geek Watch 1, is World Watch 1 with the bus.
That's right.
Our music.
We'll get a bus.
Huh?
They will get a bus.
We're going to park a bus.
That would be awesome. I don't care. That's a goal, Kylie. That's a goal. We're getting a bus.
We will park that bus.
We'll get a bus. We'll record from the bus.
We need to stop, man. Kids just say no stay in school.
And stay on that bus.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Hey, Kylan, would a microbus count? Volkswagen microbus?
No.
Oh, come on. That'd be awesome. Get the one with the top raises.
We're not. No.
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 When I was. Now, mind you, when I was 13 years old, summer of 1984, I did not know anything about this movie because, you know, there was no real marketing for it. Like, you know, if I went to the movie theater, I would see the poster.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time I saw it was on the back, maybe on the back of a G.I. Joe comic. So I saw this, I read this, and I was consumed with the need to see this movie. Buckaroo Who, the designer and driver of the jet car, a vehicle able to roar unharmed through solid matter. 13-year-old me is like, huh? Buckaroo Who, an expert in martial arts, particle physics, and fluent in a dozen languages. Buckaroo Who, an extraordinary brain surgeon. Now, I'm about to pass out. Buckaroo Who, leader of the Hong Kong Cavaliers, one of the toughest, most popular hard-rocking bar bands in East Texas. East Texas. That's where that's where he lives. Well,
no, they're in Jersey.
But they start off in East Texas.
Well, kind of, sorta.
Yeah. Although Bonsai Institute is in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This whole thing is based in New Jersey.
Now, and then it says, join Team Bonsai, the Hong Kong Cavaliers, and the astounding Blue Blazer Regulars on their action-packed assault against evil electroids from Planet 10. Experience the horrors deep within the climbing walls of Yo-Yo Dyne propulsion systems. Thrilled to the sights and sounds trapped in the mysterious formless void of the eighth dimension. Be there as Buckaroo fights against impossible odds to rescue Penny Pretty from the hateful Dr. Lizardo, the diabolically possessed alien dictator from outer space. If I did not want to see this movie after this, something was wrong with my soul. That's all I have to say.
You know what's funny? Kevin Smith, I watched that interview with him, and he actually had almost the same story because growing up, he said he had the same thing with this movie, was that he had seen it in the back of a comic book and saw the poster in a movie theater. Or no, he had seen it in the back of a comic book and went to the movie theater asking about this movie. They had no idea what he was talking about.
Right.
He was in a little town of Jersey, like a little one theater type town. Mm-hmm. So he kept asking, and they never got it in his town. So he started going to the video stores. And eventually, when he got to the video store and looked and saw the poster, he was like, "When's that movie coming?" Which on the poster it said December. But it just didn't catch that right away.
No.
And he forced them to let him put his name on the back of the poster so he could have the poster. But I guess every week he said he was there asking if it was there back. So when it finally did show up, they already had the poster down, rolled up, ready for him. But this was one of the more influential movies of when he was a kid.
I mean, I bought – when VCRs first came out, VHS tapes were super expensive, right?
Like Blu-rays are now.
Yeah. But then, you know, the price starts to come down. Buckaroo Banzai was one of the first movies I bought. One of the very first movies I bought. And then I went on a mad hunt and managed to find the novelization. Managed to find the giant-sized Marvel comic along with the four-part series both the same, but I'm just that guy. So
yeah. Well, that's like us with Star. Those us out there who are big Star Wars fans. They see the movie. See the movie, buy the novelization, buy the book, buy the Blu-rays, buy... Yeah, and then, it's all the same story, and but I mean, you might get an extra three words.
Exactly.
I was like, and then I found out that they were releasing a DVD special edition. It may have been the 25th at that point.
I think so, yeah, because I think I have the 25th anniversary.
And then I had to go buy the novelization again because I think they had maybe one or two new pictures in it.
Ah.
I need to borrow one of that.
Oh, yeah. All good and good. And I'm, you know, we a couple of years ago we go to Dragon Con and they're having a Buckaroo Banzai panel, and I go to a lot of panels, and I go to my share of cons, and every now and then I'll see people in Banzai Institute t-shirts, and I'm like, cool. But then this was the first con I had gone to where there was a Buckaroo Banzai panel.
And oh, that'd have been sweet.
So, it was put on by the Classic Sci-Fi group.
It was put on by the Classic Sci-Fi track, and I think Peter Weller was supposed to be there, but it just so happened there were people who were there for RoboCop, and so they pulled him in for the RoboCop reunion instead. But that was okay. So I'm sitting in the room, and there's all these 20-somethings. It was weird. All these 20-somethings watching who apparently loved Buckaroo Banzai, and I'm like, okay. And then I look in the corner, and there's this guy wearing this headband, and I've never seen this headband in
now, for you listening at home, Kylan has the Team Banzai headband on, the orange and red with the martial art, or what, Japanese symbols on one side, and Team Banzai on the other.
Yeah, and so, you know, this was part of the marketing package that they had, because along one of the marketing schemes was they're going to have a Blue Blazer regular monthly, fan club, and you're going to get a letter, and you've got this headband and all this stuff. Well, that none of that ever went.
Well, the newsletter is actually still was going as of 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, because they got the one guy who was doing the newsletter when I saw this interview was actually gave Lithgow and Peter Weller a copy of it.
Well, there was the Banzai Institute website, which hasn't been updated in a long time.
Right now, because and the Banzai Institute was the website was updated with some really cool like it's random stuff, but it was cool stuff. It fit the whole Banzai theme. But so I see this guy, and he's there, and I'm like, and I just walked over to the dude, and he saw my shirt, and he's like, I think we said brother.
Yeah. Of course.
So that was just it was one of those things. Like, it seems like people who are fans, we're diehards.
Yeah.
You know, because, we only have one movie.
See, my story wasn't as same. Mine, I think, my dad had recorded it from somewhere because it was on. You remember back in the 80s, everybody had these at home. You have your videotapes with like three or four movies on it that someone had recorded off a TV.
Right.
On long play.
Yeah.
Well, this was like the middle movie in one of those videotapes. I watched it. It's like, dude, this is awesome.
See, Andy hates the movie. And that's okay.
Some people love it, some people don't. Yeah.
He can be wrong, exactly.
He can be wrong, right?
I think on a Hawker I got this on old VHS tape.
Probably. I have it on DVD, but it's also on Hulu. That's probably you're watching it now, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just one of those movies that I'll be honest with you now. And I'll say it here, and I think I may have talked about it on my blog. This movie honestly changed my life. It was more. It's more than just a movie for me, because this guy, to a certain degree, could really happen. I mean,
Driving through a car.
Well,
mountain.
I mean, the events themselves may not happen, but the guy.
This type of person could exist.
I mean, we have Doc Savrock.
He's a Renaissance man.
And
people have multiple degrees in things. Mm-hmm. People are interested in science and music. And
I don't know, in my head, Neil deGrasse Tyson is like this.
We've told everybody about the movie and a lot of things, but we have other people here who have seen the movie too. Bart, you saw the movie for the first time this past week, right?
Yeah.
What was some of your impressions? What did you take away from this movie?
Okay, I have many good things to say about it. I also have a few confusions and complaints.
Okay, go for it.
That's fine. You don't have to like everything.
The one thing I really did like, though, at the concert
when one gunshot goes off, the entire band is packing.
Yeah,
including the drummer. Including the drummer has an Uzi.
That's like a Public Enemy concert.
Well, I mean, he advises world leaders all the time.
And really? With all these other things, he's also a national security advisor for the president. The president calls him for advice.
I know, when he was laying in that weird contraption.
The president of what? Oh, the United States. Oh, okay.
But, it's on Hulu, right?
Huh? Yes, yeah. It's on Hulu.
All right, well, that's about Cousins account.
But what I didn't like about it was the fact that it felt itself like the sequel to the movie. Instead of being the first in a series.
Yes.
Because not everything was explained.
No. Yeah. Right. And after I rented it on iTunes, and I was worried, like, I downloaded the wrong movie. I just paid $3 and I downloaded the wrong movie. I have to have.
I think that's what pushed me to find the book, was that you're dropped right in the middle of this awesome world, and all this stuff is going on around you, and you're like, and even then, like, when you read the book, the book feels that way too.
It very much fits in the realm of feeling like an old movie serial.
Yes. Yeah.
Where you got dropped in chapter 5.
Yeah, I mean, it fits the style of I'm watching it right now.
Exactly.
It's going in perfectly. It's not, what you're saying doesn't seem off. It fits it.
For this style movie.
Style of movie
it is.
It's like I'm reading a comic book right now.
So, Carrington actually has something for us here. We'll take a quick break for a second. What do you got, Carrington?
I was just going to say, you know, so we got some samples of next month's. One of the samples of next month's book is chocolate orange.
Ooh.
I got one. I brought one for the whole class.
That's nice. Wow. Thank you, Mr. Carrington.
Thank you. Well, also, you know, happy birthday, Geek Watch 1.
Thank you.
Thank you. All
right, so we'll start, just, I guess, passing these out. I guess.
Let's see. Jesse, I know you were. Who else has seen this brand new within the last week or so, other than Jesse and Bart? Well, Vernon's watching it now, but here, pass that over to Bart.
I'm like 30 minutes in right now.
There you go.
Vernon's multitasking, but if you see him at work, he does the same thing.
Yeah,
he's usually watching Flash while he's working.
While on break.
I think everyone else has seen it more than once.
I actually really liked the fact that it kind of drops you in.
What's it remind you of?
But I also am a big fan of anime. And oftentimes, anime does that too. And it won't explain everything that's going on. Especially if it's a horror anime. They won't tell you what's going on or why things resolve. It just is.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the reason why I really like this movie. Because it felt very similar to that. Only it was an 80s flick. And I'm like, yes! Perfect.
See, that's what's awesome is one thing, this movie does date itself. I mean, it's being aging, you can tell it's an 80s movie.
Right.
There is nothing in this movie screams anything other than this is out of the middle of the 1980s.
Exactly.
But that's part of the charm of this movie, too.
It is.
That doesn't take away from it.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why is Jeff Goldblum's name Jersey, but he's dressed like a Texan?
Because they picked him up in New Jersey.
See, here's the thing. You think about,
if I remember, wasn't he from New Jersey?
He's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
But I think his idea was that Buckaroo Banzai, Buckaroo Cowboy, because the only way he knew Buckaroo was from med school. And so he's like, well, now, can you play an instrument? I'd like for you to be in my band. And I think he probably thought it was a country western band. And so that's the reason why you see him dressed like that.
Well, I think because they were coming back from Texas.
Yeah, they were coming back from Texas, too, so you know.
So, why don't we go, Robert, what did you think of this movie? Because you've seen it multiple times. I know you've said yes.
I will say it.
What do you remember of it?
Next to nothing. Unfortunately, as you've been talking about it, I'm like, oh, yeah. I gotta see this again. I gotta see this movie again. This is crazy. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited to watch it again.
Cool.
I will say that.
Who else has actually seen this?
Well, I was going to say what it is if you're a child of the 80s, you're kind of used to like the 80s cheese. But then you got the other ones who weren't born yet, and they're just like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've noticed that.
Not necessarily. I am a child of the 80s, and I think that.
Well,
but you're right.
As Kylan was saying earlier, this movie is crazy. It is crazy. It is an action movie. It's a comedy movie. It's an adventure movie. Just about any type of movie you can think of, it is part that.
Mm-hmm.
All rolled up. Carrington, these were fantastic. They're good stuff.
Are weird. But good.
You can't go into it thinking any of it's going to make sense. Really. That's what it comes down to.
Which is the reason why it's so good.
Yeah. But it has, like, really good, like, one-liners and stuff like that. Like,
that's what I want to get into next.
A lot of quotes and stuff out of it.
If nothing else, when you watch this movie, you will go away quoting this movie.
Yes.
There is every other line in this movie that someone delivers is worth quoting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you got?
The very end, where he says, "Wherever you go, there you are." We heard that in we've heard that in other 80s movies.
Oh, yeah, all over the place.
Oh, I got that here.
Yeah,
I got that here.
Well, one of my favorite movies is John Lithgow, I think, was the only person that could play Dr. Lizardo in this.
Yeah.
Lord John Warfin. Because some of the stuff that he says in this movie is just, it's John Lithgow.
Yes.
One of my favorite lines is he turns around to Christopher Lloyd's John Big Booty and is just screaming at him because Big Booty did something that I forget exactly what it was. But he's like, "John Big Booty, you're the dumbest individual I ever know," or something like this.
Say it one more time.
Yes, Big Booty.
One of my favorites. One of my favorites actually is "Laugh a while you can, monkey boy."
Yes. Yes, the Electroids call all humans monkey boys. If you listen, if you actually go through, you'd probably have to turn on, to catch it all, you'd have to turn on your subtitles. But while they're in the factory that these Electroids live in, it's like a giant nest. But over the PA, while the Hong Kong Cavaliers are attacking, you have the PA announcing that they're attacking. You get stuff like over the PA, you hear "Monkey Boys have entered the facility." Yeah, stuff like this over the PA system.
Sorry, they do call them Monkey Boys.
Yeah, Monkey Boys have entered the facility.
And actually, we used to have a bumper sticker on our car from one of John Lithgow's lines. "Sealed with a curse as sharp as a knife, doomed is your soul and damned is your life."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I would love to look on people's faces and they'll be walking by and they'll look at it and they go, and they'll look at the car and they're like, and I'll see the look on her face like,
Another one, you get, John Lithgow gives a speech to all of the red Electroids. Now, he is he's the type of leader for these Electroids that they will follow him into the grave. He's a fanatical leader in the vein of, like, if you've seen the propaganda films and stuff from, like, Hitler or Mussolini or any of these guys where everybody loved everything these guys did.
Yeah.
That's what Lord John Warfin is in this movie.
Yes.
Well,
don't
they even have a salute that's kind of like the Hitler
helmet? Yeah. Yep. That, Lithgow said he actually studied tapes of Mussolini when he gave his speech in this movie. But the way he finishes the speech is he asks a couple of questions of the Electroids. And Kylan can do the responses here, probably. But he knows where I'm going. That's why he's already losing it. So it's
he asked it for our first promo.
That's right.
He asked, "Where are we going?"
Planet 10.
"When?"
"Real soon."
You hear the entire factory chanting back to him on this. "Real soon."
It's a timetable.
Exactly. Well, that, like I said, you're gonna get everybody. I dare you to try to watch this movie and not come away with some kind of a quote.
Or like, there's some.
And Vernon's dying over here watching it.
Warfin says, that character is what you are in the dark, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Doesn't this guy have an Italian teacher?
And Dr. Penny Pretty.
Yeah, Dr. Penny. Doctor. Well, I made a list. I've gone to a website. And there was this list of 10, although I found, I remembered one more, and I added to the list, 10 ways Buckaroo Banzai has immersed itself in pop culture. Okay, so in Back to the Future, which starred Christopher Lloyd as one of the Electroids.
When did Back to the Future come out?
Back to the Future had to have been, what?
85.
Was it 85? Okay.
Yeah. So you had the flux capacitor, which resembles oscillation over thruster. And then you had the whole thing with 88 miles an hour, which figures into the whole Rocket 88 thing, which was a big Buckaroo Banzai thing because the bees look like eights.
Oh, okay.
And
you
see the 8-8s on his...
Yeah, have you guys ever seen the Buckaroo Banzai logo? It looks like two bees, except the second one's flipped backward, or the first one's flipped backwards, and they're back to back.
Right.
So it looks like a giant eight.
And then Into the Night, which was a Jeff Goldblum movie, at one point he shouts Banzai and shoots thumbs up, and the three notes of the overthrusters heard in the background. And Men in Black, there was this alien that called everybody Monkey Boy.
Okay.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. The Prisoner Pig Killer says, no matter where you go, there you are.
That's, in I think that's Fight where Club,
the PA, there's a PA announcement for a phone call for John Big Butte. In Angel, Wolfman Hart has Yellowdyne Propulsion System as a client.
Yeah.
Of course they would.
The Life Aquatic, Team Zizu. I have not seen this movie. Anyway, is similar to Team Banzai. And like the apparently the ending scene where they're all marching together like in Buckaroo Banzai, apparently they do something similar in the closing scene of Life Aquatic. I don't know. Never seen it. But in the Brady Bunch movie...
this one he has seen.
Going for the high quality now.
Mike Brady quotes Dr. Banzai's famous quote, where no matter where you go, blah, 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 you know.
There you are. My, if you're going to quote,
no matter where you go, blah, blah, blah.
There you are.
From now on, blah, blah, blah.
And, yeah. In Babylon 5, Garibaldi has the overthruster as part of the ship. And in Star Trek, which is inundated with Banzai nods, the overthruster shows up in different as different names through the shows. They have a ship called the USS Buckaroo Banzai and a ship called the USS Worfen.
I never caught any of those.
And the Enterprise is built by Yellowdyne Propulsion Systems. Like if you read the plaque.
Oh, okay.
And there's one that I noticed, and this was in the second season of The Librarians. I believe it was second season, maybe the first. The World Crime League is mentioned.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
nice.
Yeah. I think it was at the end of the
first. Was the end of first now, season? Yeah.
This actually, when they made this movie, there was no actual plans on the books to make a sequel. Mm. But at the very end of the movie, you see Buckaroo Banzai will return in Buckaroo Banzai versus the World Crime League.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the World Crime League?
The World Crime League is an organization that is headed by Hanoi Jean. And basically, they're nefarious, and they're about all no goodness and evilness. And Buckaroo Banzai is their mortal enemy.
Now, in the movie, there are actually, in the deleted scenes and things, you see there are actual more references to Hanoi Jean and the World Crime League. Problem is, obviously, towards the end, they realize, you know what? We're not going to be able to go on with this story here.
Right.
So they cut out almost all references to it.
Right.
Other than, I think Penny Pretty still has her line where she calls Worfen Hanoi Jean.
Yes.
Right.
And he looks at her like, who's this? But right. John Lithgow, on the interview that we saw, he actually said the directors had come to him to possibly play Hanoi Jean if they did a sequel.
Oh.
I don't know how they would have done it, and he didn't know how they were going to do it.
He's like, he'll learn.
But, yeah.
That's a movie that needs not a reboot, but a re-showing, and then a sequel.
Yes.
Yeah, like a next generation kind of thing.
Every couple of months or every couple of years, there is a rumor pops up that, hey, someone else is optioned to look at this. The problem is, the company that made it went out of business, and it's one of those movie companies that have gone through 27 different hands here and there, and everybody in... It's like Canon films. A lot of Canon films from the 80s were hard to get DVDs and Blu-rays of because no one knows who owns them.
Well, the thing is, you could almost take the movie itself, and if you were to flesh out the storylines and actually have it make sense, that one movie could be a trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
And, you know, and with all the effects and everything you can do these days, like they could really do it up. But it would definitely be true.
You got to wonder.
Give me a sad.
That's The problem is though, part of the charm of what makes this movie great is because of when it was made.
Yeah.
Well, and the feel of the movie. If they made it now and made it all shiny and sparkly and as good as it, I don't think it would be the same. It would not have the same impact on what it has on the people that it has.
But I think Guardians of the Galaxy did a really good job of keeping the camp and having new CGI. Mm-hmm.
But that's also the exception to the rule of Hollywood.
Now the comics, like Moonstone Comics picked up the rights to it 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And there have been a couple of series, and they stay true They stay true to the spirit of the property. And it's one of those cases where I'm reading this and I'm wishing I could see this on the big screen. Mm-hmm. I think I would love to see this be picked up. I think that it would do... I think it would do well. I think the time has come for pulp heroes to make a comeback. There's a movement of that type of hero now. You know, it's kind of small, but it's growing.
Yeah, definitely.
They could very well do a sequel, do the sequel to the movie, even though it's been, 34 years after, with the original actors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it said he will return. They didn't say when he will return.
That's right.
It said he will return.
That's right. We got a little sample of that in Star Wars, Force Awakens.
Yeah. Well, that's also like a trend in Hollywood right now.
Poe was like that.
Too. Yeah.
A lot of Buckaroo Banzai I'm seeing in Poe.
I think that's why I'm like Poe.
Well, there's a trend in Hollywood right now of where they've not been doing as many reboots as... years down the road.
Next
right. Look at Mad Max. Yeah. The new Mad Max movie is just a continuation in the same... It's a sequel in the same line. Jurassic World, Star Wars. You just go to however long it's actually Labyrinth. Been and put that in there. Huh?
They're talking about the Labyrinth thing they're writing. It's supposed to be a continuation instead of a reboot.
Go back a couple years ago, Men in Black 3, that was a perfect time for them to do a reboot, but decided to do a sequel.
Good work.
See, Lucy actually liked that movie. She sat in the drive-thru and watched it.
Men in Black 3.
She had Alpha Pug in the movie, too.
her and I sat out in front of the car and watched. She watched the entire movie.
That's awesome.
So,
video I gotta show you.
What else we got on Buckaroo Banzai as we're going, Kylan?
What else you got?
Well,
you're going to talk for years if we do, but
I can now. This
what else? What other notes did you bring?
Those are all the notes as far as
it's all in his head.
Yeah, I know.
Everything else is in my head, but that's all the
that's
notes.
That's the problem.
Okay, I'm trying to think of what stuff I had on my.
Well, see, you know, the thing is, I think the strength and the weakness of the property is that I think for many people is so. Tied to the 80s.
Yeah.
And I think that people... I think people kind of... the general populace kind of miss the point of the movie, I think. But that's okay. Because those of us that get it, do.
Well, that was Peter Weller's joke, that he was in the movie, he filmed the movie, he's seen it multiple times and still has no idea what it's about. Obviously, that was a joke, but still.
You don't have to know what it's about to enjoy the movie.
Exactly.
Right. It's called fun.
It's one of those things, like,
because of the way it's filmed and cut and everything, there are so many questions, and there's so many continuity issues, and there's so many glaring errors, and I said this to Kylan even the other night, I'm like, I still don't know why, at the very end credits, Perfect Tommy starts walking, and he has his shirt wide open, bare-chested, and then all of a sudden, he's in a different outfit. Same credits.
Well,
the explanation is he's perfect. That's
perfect.
And depending if they're still going to do it, they're supposed to be doing a Big Trouble in Little China remake with Dwayne.
That doesn't need to be redone.
I don't think it needs to be.
That's another one you could do a continuation.
Me and my friends had a big discussion on that, and one of my friends was saying how it does need to be rebooted because he doesn't like watching the older movies. It would be good for our generation.
No.
Then me and my friends say we can look at the old classics of it. But seeing how they're doing with Mad Max, Jurassic World, and Star Wars, there's a possibility for that to work because the way Rock's acting ability is, he could probably pull off a good 80s style
possibly.
Character. But I don't know how the story.
But back in the 80s, there was a couple. I remember what the couple other things was.
Yeah.
Now in this, you get to meet the President of the United States.
Yeah.
And he's in a hanging upside down traction bed all the time because he's got polio or something.
Yes.
But. When the black electroids, when they come to Earth, they decide how are they going to destroy the entire world? Well, they have they disrupt global communications to start with, so no one can talk to anybody.
Right.
Okay. So the threat was if you don't stop the red electroids from leaving the planet, we're going to fire a particle beam at Soviet Russia, which they automatically are going to think is an act of war.
Right.
And they're going to launch all theirs, we launch all of ours, and done.
Right.
A standard 80s trope.
Right.
There was many movies in the 80s that did this. Well, Banzai did it as a sci-fi theme. So, but as you're getting to the end, the of course they have the standard box that has the defense conditions on it, and it shows where the Soviets are, we are. And as the defense condition 2 comes, which is one step below or before nuclear war, the advisors are sitting there with the president, and the president asks advice from his national security advisor, who happens to be Yakov Smirnov.
Yes.
Yeah. And he is, what was his, he was, security minister Smirnov or something. Yes, his name was Smirnov in the movie.
Yes, security minister Smirnov.
Or something like that.
Looking like, yep.
And he doesn't try to hide the accent or anything. He's a Russian playing the national security advisor in the middle of the Cold War. It's fantastic.
Oh, and don't forget, when the president tries to decide whether to declare war
that was the
and
next
send
one.
The missile, he has the short form.
Yes. He has, yeah, they pull up the United States Emergency Powers Declaration of War, the short form.
I love this.
No, so what came first?
Huh?
Okay. What came first?
What?
That character or the drink?
Smirnov, the drink was second,
pretty,
I think.
Pretty sure it was a drink.
Yeah, Yakov Smirnov was a very famous. Wasn't he like officially a defector from Russia?
Yeah, yeah.
Or that, at least that's the character he played when he's on doing a stand up.
Yeah.
So and it was and anybody who hasn't seen it, his stuff was fantastic. I'm sure YouTube has all kinds of it.
I think he has a show in Branson now.
Yeah, yeah. He has an entire theater. Just like the guys used to have. He's got an entire theater just him.
Wow. But so, I love the fact that they're going to destroy the world by basically making Russia think the U.S. fired on them first. Instead of just, you know, destroying the world.
Exactly.
You
know? Well, they didn't have, their ship didn't have that much power.
Do it.
Yeah, the ship didn't have that much
now,
power. So
the little shuttle that they fly in the end, did you see that and see Alf's nose?
Alf's nose?
No.
Think about the way that is.
Oh,
the shuttle.
Oh, jeez.
You know what? Yeah.
It looks like Alf's nose.
So that's something else that inspired her.
Good point.
But all the alien ships in this actually look like flying coral.
Yeah, pretty
pieces
much,
of
yeah.
coral. And that was actually done on purpose, that if you watch the special features and stuff, that they actually tried to make it look somewhat organic.
Right.
So that was that. Running through my head all the different things, but like Yakov Smirnov, that tells you some of the like cameos you see in this movie. People that you had forgot or you've seen their face in everything, but no one knows who they are.
Right.
The cool thing was the Banzai Institute.
Yes.
That the big gates there. Tell me that's not Graceland. The front gates.
Well,
of it.
Well, see in the. They
well,
did.
Technically no, because they're solid gates, aren't they?
Right. Yeah, but Graceland like in the gate, oh, okay. Like in the books, well, in the book. Like, the front is always, people are, like, just crowding the front of the gate so you can see.
Well, because he's a rock star.
there was one.
There was people sitting in their car when John, the good John. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Black Electroid with the shiny jacket.
Also, all of the red Electroids are standard white dudes.
Yeah.
Yep.
All of the black Electroids, the good guys, are Rastafarians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found that. And actually, I found it interesting that, oh gosh, what's his name? Was the main one that was in Alias, and he was the voice of Martian Manhunter.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
I can't name his name now.
Hold on.
Well, why were you referencing?
Oh, because I'm like, he was another guy who ended up becoming very famous later on, more in the 90s than he did in the 80s, but
in early 2000s.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
I grew up on listening to that voice.
I cannot think of his name.
Was it John something?
Well, we'll finish as soon as you find that up. We'll finish this up. Then let's talk about this milkshake Carrington gave us. And then we'll get ready to wrap it up. We got our milkshake trial in the middle of the show, guys. So as soon as we finish, they find their names.
Carl Lumley.
Which he went on. He had a superhero series that lasted like half a season that was really good. On
which
ones? It was called Mantis.
Oh, yeah. Mantis was awesome.
Man, Mantis was awesome, but it lasted like half a season.
And you know what's funny?
1994 to 1995.
If you look at the actual military tech now, the stuff they did in Mantis, they do now.
Yes.
They do have exosuits to help people who are paralyzed and stuff.
Yeah, so that's
got to go in our. We're gonna have a show where it's just one and done seasons of Fantastic Stuff from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
because we got like a whole month's worth of shows for that.
Well, let me get on this one because
let's get a couple of final remarks. Just a couple final remarks, real quick, from anybody who's Robert. A couple final remarks on Buckaroo Banzai. Now that we've spurred your memory, anything else that popped up?
Nothing that's come to mind, but I seriously.
It's on Hulu.
I'm signing up for Hulu.
It must be watched.
Everybody needs it. Yeah. Anybody at home who we maybe made you want to go see this, go to Hulu.com. It's like they'll have a free month, 1 month trial usually, or 10 days even, and it's on their regular list of movies there.
Yeah.
So they're the only streaming service that has it that I know of that for free. Mm-hmm. So let's go around. Who else has seen it that has the final words before we get to a table here?
Jesse,
do you have anything else?
Just that I loved it, and I loved the very classic 80s vibe of all the characters, and definitely a movie I'm going to have to see several times. That's what I'm done.
Okay, Bart. What do you got last?
Aside from confusion, what have you got?
Did we answer any of your questions and help you out with now that you've seen it?
A little. I'm planning on watching it again.
Good.
It just came in for me today at the library, so I'm gonna go check it out and watch it again. I don't know. I think it will take a couple watches to fully understand what's going on.
You will never fully understand. Well,
Kylan has seen this over 20 times probably.
And I'm still picking up
and
stuff.
And he had never noticed that Buckaroo Banzai's helmet breaks in half when you go through the eighth dimension.
Everyone else notices the first time.
So he's still finding new things.
I do find the fact that his ex-wife just randomly had a twin sister that nobody knew about. I mean, there could have been so many better explanations.
Don't they kind of explain that a little bit, though?
A little bit, but it was kind of convenient.
She could have been from a different dimension. I mean, that would have been a better explanation. And that's bad when being from a different dimension is a better explanation randomly having a twin sister.
In the novelization, they go a little bit deeper into it, and they give a better explanation than just, twin sister.
As always, the book is better.
The book is better. So.
But the whole twin thing is another very classic 80s.
Yeah.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. It's very soap opera.
Evil twin.
I mean, yeah. Twin. Just suddenly shows up this random twin you've never heard of before because they need a plot device.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Vicky, you've seen the movie a couple times now. What are your final thoughts on the movie?
I liked it. I'm curious to see, like, a next generation, like, get the actors, like, their real kids to play, you know.
Kind of like what they've talked about for Goonies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That could be interesting, some of that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Imagine Scooter Lindley now all grown up leading the Blue Blazers.
Scooter is the webmaster of the Blue Blazers now. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's another thing in this movie, guys. There's a little, 10-year-old kid running around with a machine gun in this movie.
Yes.
And they treat it like that's normal.
Yep.
Well, you know, here's the thing about the Blue Blazer regulars. I have to touch on this. The Blue Blazer regulars are ordinary people who are yet extraordinary. They're just your regular, everyday people, and they're expected to study science. Study a musical instrument, and they're required to spend 2 weeks out of the year at various retreats for either survival training or maybe a scientific seminar or commando conditioning.
They get to go commando?
That too.
Son team too.
Well,
he didn't have a parent.
Exactly.
Yeah, his dad was flying the helicopter.
Yeah.
Exactly. He had the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
That kid did not play.
Well, also we find out that the Blue Blazers actually have strike teams and things all over the country that wherever Buckaroo's at, if he needs help, he can call on these guys and they'll show up packing ready to go.
Yeah.
The Rug Munchers showed up.
Yeah.
you see that on the van?
Yeah.
The van when they roll up the two guys, the whatever brothers, their company was the Rug Munchers carpet cleaners.
Yeah.
You've never seen that?
Yes! I thought those rug suckers. I think I was.
No, that is it. It's the rug suckers.
They're rug suckers.
But still.
Either way.
I don't know.
There's something about that name.
That was family-friendly, people. Friendly.
Stay in school, kid.
Miss Dawn.
Say it, man.
Yeah. You have to live with this in and out every day. So what was your final thoughts on the movie?
I do. I live this movie every day. I've always enjoyed the movie. I saw it before knowing Kylan. I did see it before I knew him. So it wasn't him trying to indoctrinate me in any way. But I've seen it many times since then. And I like it. It gets me because of the one-liners, like the good jokes, and it gets me because of all the people you know now who are in it. And it's the 80s factor. It is the kitschy fashions and the you know, bad, cheesy music and the really bad effects and the watermelon you can't ask about. And
that's actually in a deleted scene.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
You just don't ask about the watermelon.
Don't ask about watermelon.
No, it's in the regular movie.
No. They actually show the watermelon in a vice and stuff later on.
Yeah, that was in the regular movie.
It was?
There's more in a deleted scene, though.
Yeah, more in a deleted scene.
That's it. Somebody was coming through and...
Wasn't the watermelon.
Yeah, don't ask about the watermelon.
Okay. They explained the watermelon a little more in the deleted scenes. So, Kylan, my friend.
Yes?
What do you have for final thoughts on Buckaroo Banzai for tonight?
Aside from it changing your life.
It's helped develop our podcast.
It did. Sure. It helped develop the podcast.
People should recognize the music at the end. And
at the beginning and at the end. You should get the opening and closing credits.
Speaking
movie.
Of which, this is the beginning of the closing music for Buckaroo Banzai.
So the movie is more than a movie to me. Just being honest, it is. But I love it for the good and the bad. And the funny and the crazy. I love it all. And you know what? I could talk about this movie every day. So, which
sometimes
I know we're not.
He does.
I know we're not, but... To be able to make my contribution to the lore of Buckaroo Banzai and to kind of help spread the story, I like that I'm able to do that, so...
And we do still have a quest, Geeksters. If any of you can get a hold of Peter Weller or W.D. Richter, we will get them on the show anytime they are willing to come on to talk Buckaroo Banzai.
Yes, please. I mean, 5 minutes, 5 hours. It's all good.
Anytime, day or night. We'll take a day off of work if we have to.
Yes, seriously.
So that was most of our Buckaroo Banzai talk. Now, halfway through the show, I told you guys that we're going to talk about these milkshakes. Karen, you brought it. Just real quick, thumbs up, thumbs down on the...
Thumbs up. Way up.
Everybody?
Milkshakes. I
agree. Everybody but Cameron, but
my
we don't...
Cameron!
Cameron's not...
So much orange!
Wait.
There's very much orange in it!
Cameron's not old enough to have an opinion yet, so it's all good.
That's right. Well, just not an opinion anyone will listen to.
Exactly.
Ouch.
So the consensus, all but one, was total thumbs up for the orange or the
it's
chocolate
unanimous.
Orange.
It's unanimous. The chocolate orange milkshake.
Cameron, you're that fifth dentist, aren't you?
He has no idea what you're saying.
Four of my dentists.
Now.
We're going to have the white chocolate.
Ah, okay.
Oh, he wants white chocolate. Look out.
As we're wrapping this up, I told everybody that
you can go to
Hulu.com to see this movie. Also, if you want to possibly buy this movie, Kylan, where could they buy this movie? Or possibly the soundtrack or the books? Where can we go?
You can buy said movie or the novelization or the soundtrack if it's available through the link on GeekWatch1.com.
Now, which link would that be?
That would be the Amazon link. You click on that, and it takes you right to the Amazon page. And then you can purchase Buckaroo Banzai, the movie. You can even purchase the book. Or you can purchase any GeekWatch1 or the t-shirt. Because I'm wearing my Banzai Institute t-shirt, which
You should be able to
purchase it. And for anyone interested, it is available on Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray, so
is it now?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
$17.78 if you have Prime.
Wait, time out. Wait. Why is the Blu-ray cheaper than the DVD?
Because no one.
No. If I remember right, that's actually the Australian Blu-ray. That's why it's cheaper. That's the Australian regional one.
So stick with the DVD. Event.
Yeah, when you're buying things on Amazon, people, check the reviews and make sure that it's what you're looking for. Because there are little things like that. So, yeah, you want region free or was it region 1?
Region 1, yes.
So, but you can get that link at www.geekwatch1. That's where you can get all things Geekwatch 1. You can find our, if you're not sure, if you came across us somewhere and can't figure out where you found us, go there. You'll find our show and anything else we're up to, all of our blogs. You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher and the Satchel Player at Geekwatch 1. If you go to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, you got to find Kylan and Ken. Also, we are now on Mixlr.com. Hopefully, we're going to try to put this up every week. And when we're recording, we will send a blast out on Facebook and Twitter, letting everybody know that we're actually recording live. So you guys can get in on us. There's actually, Mixlr has a chat room that runs during it that you can talk, or you can talk directly to us. Either way. Now, I don't know if you'll derail us or not. Sometimes that's fun. We don't. It's not that difficult to derail us.
They
you guys
don't
have been listening.
Take my job.
So
that's true. Depends
you can on. Also, if you enjoy this, let us know which. If you enjoy Buckaroo Banzai as much as we do, send us an email at kylanandken@gmail.com. That way, you can let us know that you really like this, or if you really didn't like it. However you like, let us know. You can also find us on the Tangibound and the Weeby Geeks networks at tangibound.com and weebygeeks.com. Now, for...
Wait, hold on.
I have one thing, too.
Wait, we got two more things. Kylan.
Okay. I want to give a shout-out to Keith Rackman Weird.
On Twitter.
Okay.
At Keith Rackman Weird. They're a friend of the show.
And if you want to know some of the stuff that's going on around Akron and et cetera, follow Keep Akron Weird.
Okay.
Okay.
Are they on Facebook, Twitter? What is it?
Definitely Twitter.
It's mainly Twitter.
Okay.
They're mainly Twitter, so.
Okay, and Vicky, what did you have?
Question for Don. Is it a Canadian thing to streak in the snow?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
She found a video.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Is that normal for Canadians?
Everything's normal for Canadians.
What do you got, Cameron?
So, Buffer runs on 1 year. That's for 2 years.
We haven't got that far yet. We will discuss that off air. This one, no one knew this was happening until about a month ago. We knew this. But
yeah,
this was a promise for us.
But yeah, that's true.
So we'll figure out something, and we'll let you guys know in the future.
Yeah. Maybe before the end of the year, there will be a sequel.
Oh, there you go.
If nothing else, there will be Geek Watch 1. Maybe it'll be Buckaroo Banzai Talk, the sequel.
Maybe. You know,
maybe.
Maybe we'll just thumb our own.
That could work.
There you go.
Somebody suggested that we do an audio play. He said, if you love Buckaroo Banzai so much, why don't you do an audio play? And I'm like...
No,
we know people that do that.
Dude.
We have friends who do audio plays.
See, I know, dude. I do.
Dude, you're a writer.
After the movie, I told them that we should actually film it. It's a big group cosplay.
Oh.
We could all dress as the Hong Kong Cavaliers.
Can I do Perfect Tommy with my big fuzzy chest?
And then every extra person can be a Blue Blazer regular, just give them, you know, big guns. That would be so much
fun.
Oh, man. So, Kylan, I wasn't planning on putting this on the end, but... What would you love for this next year Buckaroo Banzai? For Geek Watch 1. We've done this for a whole year, man. Yeah. We've gone to conventions. We've had interviews. Dude. We have interviews coming up.
You know what?
What do you see for the next year?
You know what? I tell you something. I was telling somebody, a coworker, our story. And I will say that I realized that we were... thinking too small. We're dreaming too small. And the thing is, I keep thinking, if I think this is going to turn into this, and the next steps I have in my head are so big and so kind of, I don't want to say scary, but daunting. They're kind of daunting. But, I mean, dude, I mean... Well, okay, Don said, well, you know, Well, you know, they still have public television, right?
There's still cable access, too.
Yeah.
Hey, making a Roku channel is actually really, really easy.
Dude.
I've been wanting to make shorts.
Okay. She's been wanting to make short films for YouTube for a while.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
Well, you can do that anytime.
Yeah. We just haven't taken time to do it.
But to get the time and get the camera work. Yeah.
We got stuff to talk about, guys. So
we don't want to end with dead air. Come on. No.
Exactly. So, but you know what? On that note, just remember:
no matter where you go, blah blah blah. No.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.